passage selected for the sermon this morning is taken from the epistle. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're into the second Sunday of the Advent season. And as we were reminded last week, this is not a season of anticipation for the Nativity. That can't be anticipating something that's already happened. And so what we are anticipating is the second coming of our Lord, the coming in power and glory to issue judgment and to close the times and return all things under his dominion. And of course, we call that time the apocalypse, and our society, our culture is obsessed with all things apocalyptic, whether it is with movies or books or video games or TV shows. We are bombarded with visions of earthquakes or asteroids pelting the earth or radioactive wastelands and, of course, zombies. Lots and lots of zombies, apparently. We think there'll be zombies. And yet, the scriptures don't really support that. If you look at the readings for today, you hear in the epistle that we should be looking forward to this end time in hope. If you look at the gospel, Jesus uses the imagery of the fig trees coming to maturity, ripening, of being ready for harvest, a really gentle image. And he tells us that we should be expecting to have our time come in hope, because it will be our redemption. It's hard to reconcile the common image that we have for the apocalypse and the message that we get from the readings today. And it's all right, because we do often get scriptures wrong. We look at how badly we misunderstood how Jesus would come the first time. He was expected to be a great king, a great administrator, a great military man. The last thing anybody expected, although in retrospect and with the grace of revelation from the Holy Spirit, we see that what they should have expected was a teacher, a gentleman, preaching beatitudes and sacrifice instead of command and control. Now, the likelihood is that if we'd been back with them, we'd have gotten it wrong too. We weren't and aren't really better at understanding God's will for us than the first century Jews were, and so it's likely that we'll get the understanding of what the second coming will be like wrong as well. And so we should be looking to Scripture to give us the tone of how we should be anticipating this end of times. And that tone is a tone of anticipation, of peace, and of joyfulness. Now, there will be destruction at the end of times. There will be destruction. But it will be the destruction of this culture. It will be the destruction of the materialism of this world. It'll be the destruction of what is corrupted and broken in this sinful world. What will be destroyed are the zombies. Well, of course, what are we but zombies, right? Shackled and chained with our selfishness and our greed and our lack of charity that keep us from living the life that we were created to live. That is what will be destroyed, because what is destroyed at the end of time is the kingdom of the prince of this world. And so what is going to be laid waste? Pridefulness, selfishness, hatred. What ends is fear, suffering, death, and sin. That's the end of times. Now, there will be a separating of goats and sheep, and we all worry about that. Where are we going to be? But if we are reading our scripture, if we are digesting it the way we're instructed to take it in the collect for today, then we shouldn't have doubt about where we'll be, because what happens when you digest scripture is the same thing that happens when we digest food. We take what is good that is outside us, we bring it into ourselves, it is transformed into the material of our being, our life. And then it is by the grace of that food that has been transformed to be ourselves that we have the energy to live and to change our lives. And that is how we should read Scripture, which is the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, that we take Him through Scripture in as we would food, spiritual food. And it is transformed. It becomes our bodies and our souls. And the grace that's given to us through that Scripture becomes the energy and the grace we need to live according to the way that Jesus has set for us to live, to imitate Him in His life of sacrifice, to become lambs as He was the Lamb of God. We are His lambs, and we will be His lambs, and He will be our shepherd. We will be with the sheep when the time comes that what is not godly in this world is separated from what will last forever. Now, this message of hope isn't just for the generation that will face the final apocalypse, because the truth is that we all face the apocalypse individually, right? We have our mortality. Jesus Christ is going to come and visit us, going to come to us again individually, as surely as He'll come for the end of the world. And when He comes, what is sinful in us and hateful and prideful cannot abide to be in His presence. There will be a separation of goats and sheep, but what's going to be separated is the hatefulness and pride and sinfulness of our lives. That's what's going to be destroyed as we encounter our fearfulness and our misunderstanding about death. And what's going to persist through that door that takes us to the other side, where we will meet Jesus to have our judgment, is what is godly and what is loving. And when we get to our judgment, even though we're unworthy, even though we've been sinful, we should not be afraid. Because the judgment of Jesus is this. We already know it. He's already told us. The judgment of Jesus is this, that we are loved, that we are forgiven, and that we are bid to come to His table, His feast, to dine and to be with Him forever. One of the popular images that we have of the end times is the raising up of the dead that have died over time and the lifting of them up to meet our Lord. And if we believe the popular culture, we'll be haunted by the spirits and souls that rise on that day. But that's not the case. The reason they rise is to get their resurrected bodies so that they can be joined in us, not to haunt us, but to hug us, to embrace us, to love us the way they always meant to love us, to be loved of us, the way that we mean to love them. That is the end of time, the passing away of what is hateful and materialistic and proud and wrong, and the establishment of a kingdom of love where we will be with God and those people He has given us for the rest of our lives. I want to close the sermon this morning with a passage from St. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. We have exhorted and comforted you and charged every one of you, as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you into His kingdom and His glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.